We're on the air in 5, 4, 3.
This story shall the good man teach his son, and Crispin Crispian shall ne'er go by from this day to the ending of the world. But we in it shall be remembered, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, be he ne'er so vile. This day shall gentle his condition. And gentlemen in England now abed shall think themselves accursed they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap while any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day.
Walter, that's all fine and good, but today should also be remembered as the day your essay was due. Can't you give me a little excuse like the other students?
The on-the-air radio players give you life lessons and laughs.
Dear old Madison High School, my name is Mr. Walter Denton. Back in the year 1950, I was a student here. It was a bit better for wear, but weren't we all then? But those were the days, full of laughs and adventures, at least when we weren't doing homework. Then again, mind you, I was perhaps a bit too clever for my own good. Well, what do I mean? Listen in, and I'll let you decide for yourself.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, written by Al Lewis. Well, last Friday fell on the 13th of the month, a day of caution for the superstitious, but to Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, it didn't mean a thing.
No, indeed. Even when my landlady told me at breakfast that our cat Minerva came back with 2 black kittens, I just laughed and said, Mrs. Davis, no.
Oh, yes. They just had our last drop of milk.
But Minerva and I were always so friendly. She didn't say a word to me about this.
Oh, the kittens aren't Minerva's. I don't know where they belong. All I know is that we cannot afford to keep them. It would mean 2 more mouths to feed.
You're right, Mrs. Davis. We've got enough trouble feeding the mouths we've got.
Say, I've got an idea. We could leave them in the Snodgrass pet shop until we've located the owners. Stretch's father has all sorts of things in his place.
That's true. And he even has Stretch.
Oh, good old Stretch. That boy certainly is a fine athlete.
Yes, he is. Now, if there was only some way we could find to exercise his brain. Don't worry about the kittens, Mrs. Davis. I'll have Walter Denton drop them off at the pet shop on our way to school this morning.
Oh, good. And one more thing, Connie. Would you deliver this jar to Mr. Conklin when you get to school?
Certainly, Mrs. Davis. What have you cooked up for our beloved principal?
It's a secret concoction, Connie. My own recipe. It never fails.
Good. How long does it take to work? Will they find out what's in it at the autopsy?
It's just a remedy for hiccups, Connie. It contains nothing but juniper juice, oil of cloves, a dash of vinegar, some vanilla extract, a spoonful of baking
soda. Tell me the rest after breakfast.
Well, that's about all there is to it. But it's very good. Mrs. Conklin says that it's just a nervous reaction. She called last night and told me he got the hiccups yesterday, just a few minutes after he found out that the superintendent of schools is visiting him this afternoon.
Mrs. Michaels, why should she give Mr. Conklin hiccups?
Well, there's a new term starting in February, and it seems that Mrs. Michaels wants to chat with Osgood about the way he's running Madison.
You mean if Mrs. Michaels finds fault with something, that there's a chance that Mr. Conklin may not be... Oh, now cut it out, Connie. You're too old to live in a dream world. Oh, that's Walter Denton. Come in, Walter.
Oh, I'd better go into the kitchen. I've got to clean those dishes I used for the wee kitty's milk.
Well, then why don't you let Minerva do the dishes? They're her friends.
Hiya, Miss Brooks. Did I hear Mrs. Davis mention kittens?
Just some transient acquaintances, Walter. We're going to drop them off at Stretch's pet shop on the way to school.
Oh, swell! Stretch will get a real big kick out of him. He loves animals, all kinds of animals.
I know. You've been friends for years, haven't you? I hope you're not superstitious, Walter, but these are both black cats, and today is Friday the 13th.
Oh, that doesn't bother me, Miss Brooks. This is going to be a red-letter day in my memory, the day when the results of careful planning should be brought to fruition.
Translation?
Well, you've heard of Cure That Habit Incorporated, haven't you?
You mean the outfit that helps people overcome alcoholism?
Yes, ma'am. They've got a big ad in the papers, you know. Perhaps you or someone near and dear to you is a victim of this dread disease. Send for our instructive literature telling how you, too, can be cured. Well, day before yesterday, I sent for it.
You, Walter? I always thought you were strictly a 2 cola a day man.
Oh, I didn't sign my name and address to the request. I printed the name of someone very near and dear to me.
Who?
Osgood Conklin.
Walter, Mr. Conklin doesn't drink. Why, even on New Year's Eve, he just had fruit punch. His proudest boast is that he's a teetotaler.
Well, that's the humor of it. When he gets all this stuff in the mail, he'll think that somebody somewhere doesn't believe that he doesn't drink. Oh, that thought alone should turn him purple.
Well, it would be quite a picturesque spectacle, but I still don't think it's right, Walter. Does Harriet know about this rib?
Of course not. She's his daughter. She likes Mr. Conklin.
Well, she's bright in other ways. Now, come on, Walter. We've got to get started for school if we're going to drop those kittens off.
Okay, Miss Brooks. Oh, one thing before we go. Everything I've told you today is strictly confidential. Not that I'm asking for an oath of secrecy or anything. I know that I couldn't possibly feel the admiration and respect for you that I do if I thought you'd rat on me. I mean, betraying my confidence about this joke that I'm pulling.
Well, don't worry, Walter. Your secret is safe with me.
Miss Brooks, that statement makes me feel warm all over.
Really?
Sure. In a dangerous, practical joke like this, it's great to know that somebody else is in it with you up to her ears.
Sorry to have kept you waiting, Mr. Chalmers. What can I do for you?
Well, Mrs. Michaels, as superintendent of schools, you are acquainted, no doubt, with the principal of Madison High School.
Oh, yes, Osgood Conklin. As a matter of fact, I'm going to see him this afternoon.
Then I'd very much like to go with you. You see, Mrs. Michaels, my son attends Madison High, and I'm very anxious to find out the meaning of this postcard which arrived at my office this morning.
Postcard?
Yes, ma'am. I'll read it to you. It's addressed to Cure That Habit Incorporated. That's my firm, Mrs. Michaels. And it says, kindly send me all your literature. I'm determined once and for all to rid myself of the curse of alcoholism. It's signed, Osgood Conklin.
Here we are, Miss Brooks. Dear old Madison High.
I should have known that Snodgrass Pet Shop doesn't open until 9. What in the world are we going to do with these kittens, Walter?
Gosh, I don't know, Miss Brooks. Mr. Conklin's awfully strict about pets in the building. The only animals allowed are in Mr. Boynton's lab. Oh, say, we could keep them in there until lunch period.
That's right. Then Stretch could take them over to his dad's shop. Come on, Walter, let's take them in. Wait a minute. Where are the kittens?
I got them in my sweater pocket. See, here's one. And here's the other one.
So much for the Andrews sisters.
Hello, Miss Brooks.
Hello, Patty. Harriet.
Hiya, Harriet. Well, I've got to run now. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Walter.
How does your dad feel, Harriet? Are the hiccups gone?
Yes, Miss Brooks. They disappeared about an hour ago, but I'm afraid it isn't permanent. Every time something unpleasant happens, it brings them on again.
Well, maybe this remedy that Mrs. Davis sent down will be of some help. I'd better take it to him right now.
All right, Miss Brooks. See you in class.
Come in.
It's me, Mr. Conklin.
Oh, Miss Brooks. Well, they're back.
Who's back?
Does that answer your question?
Maybe you should see a doctor, Mr. Conklin.
Saw a doctor yesterday. Told me to relax and they'd go away. Relax. What's in that jar you've got there?
It's a hiccup cure that Mrs. Davis asked me to give to you. She made it herself.
What's in it?
Nothing but juniper juice, oil of clove, a dash of vinegar, some vanilla extract, some baking soda.
I'd rather have the hiccups.
Mr. Conklin, if you haven't gotten anything else handy, you might ought to try some of Mrs. Davis's remedy.
Well, I might take just one swallow of the stuff. Give it here. Oh.
Well, Mr. Conklin, what does it taste like?
Why, it tastes like...
Oh, what's the difference as long as it does the job?
Our Miss Brooks will return in just a moment, but first...
Brush your teeth with Colgate. Colgate Dental Cream, it cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
While it cleans your teeth.
Colgate toothpaste.
Cleans your breath.
What a toothpaste.
While it cleans your teeth.
Yes, Colgate Dental Cream, the toothpaste you use to clean your breath while you clean your teeth, now offers a safe, proven way to reduce tooth decay. Modern science shows decay is caused by mouth acids, which are at their worst right after eating. Brushing teeth with Colgate as directed helps remove acids before they harm enamel. Colgate Dental Cream has been proven to contain all the necessary ingredients for effective daily dental care. Get Colgate Dental Cream today. The big economy size, only 59 cents. Remember, no other dentifrice offers proof of such results, so always use Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay before it starts.
Well, after giving Mr. Conklin an anecdote for Mrs. Davis's hiccup remedy, I returned to my classroom and whiled away the hours before lunch by teaching a bit of English. Promptly at noon, I found myself, by the amazing coincidence which occurs daily, at Mr. Boynton's biology lab.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Miss Brooks. I'm glad you dropped in. Very glad indeed.
Honestly, Mr. Boynton?
I should say so. You've got to get these cats out of here.
Oh, now don't worry about that. Walter Denton has asked Stretch to pick them up and take them to the Snodgrass Pet Shop.
Oh, good.
Where are they, Mr. Boynton?
Well, I had to keep them over here in a separate cage, away from the white mice. They were pretty upset.
Cats do that to mice, as a rule.
Here they are.
Meow.
This one loves to be petted. So does this one, for that matter.
Well, hello, Mr. Boynton. Oh, excuse me, Miss Brooks. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's all right, Stretch.
Oh, I don't mind waiting if you want to finish your song.
No, thanks. I don't know the rest of the words anyway.
Oh, are these the cats Walter wants me to take down to the shop?
That's right, Stretch. Do you think you can handle them all right?
Oh, sure. I love animals. Gosh, I think animals are smarter than a lot of people with whom I am acquainted with.
I know they're smarter than some people with whom I'm acquainted with.
Before I take the cats, Mr. Boynton, I'd like to talk to you about a swap. You got a bullfrog in here I'd like to show my dad.
You don't mean my pet McDougal.
Oh, no, sir. I know you wouldn't let Mac out of your sight. I mean this big fellow over here. Hiya, boy. Hiya, big fella.
Ribbit.
See, he knows me. Say more, fella.
Ribbit.
He certainly talks your language.
If you'll let me have him, Mr. Boynton, I'll give you Clarence.
Clarence?
I've got him right here in my pocket. There he is. Don't be scared. He's perfectly harmless, isn't he, Mr. Boynton?
Oh, yes, of course. It's completely non-poisonous, Miss Brooks. This little creature's a milk snake.
That's right, Miss Brooks. Just a little old milk snake.
Must take a shallow bucket.
He couldn't possibly hurt anyone, Miss Brooks. He's just a baby.
Well, that doesn't prove anything. When I was a baby, I bit people all the time. Take him away, Stretch, please.
Well, yeah, Stretch. Keep the snake and take the frog along, too.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Boynton. I'll take awful good care of him.
Don't forget the kitten, Stretch.
Oh, I won't. Let's see now. It's a good thing I wore my sport jacket today. I can put the kittens in the side pockets, the frog in an inside pocket, and Clarence in my breast pocket.
Too bad you're not a kangaroo. You could give me a lift to the cafeteria.
Oh, I'm not going to the cafeteria. I've got to go to the principal's office and clean it up. Mr. Conklin's expecting some high brass down.
You mean the chandelier's loose?
No, ma'am. The superintendent of schools is coming here, and that reminds me. Mr. Conklin says that you should inspect his office as soon as I get through and see that everything's spick and span.
Me?
That's right, Miss Brooks. Well, I'd better get going. Thanks for the keen frog, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, you're welcome, Stretch.
See you in a little while, Miss Brooks.
Well, that's just dandy. Now I won't be able to accept your charming invitation to lunch, Mr. Boynton.
What invitation? Oh, you mean to lunch? Gee, Miss Brooks, maybe you could have a quick lunch with me and then inspect Mr. Conklin's office.
I hate to disappoint you, Mr. Boynton, but that's just what I'm going to do.
There, the last window's clean. Mr. Conklin's office looks neat as a pin. Don't you think so, Miss Brooks?
Let's see, yes. It looks very nice, Stretch. Mr. Conklin should be very pleased when he gets back from lunch.
Well, I hope so. Now I'll put my jacket back on and get these animals back. Hey, wait a minute. They're gone.
Who's gone?
Everybody. I'm missing the frog and the snake. They must have crawled out of my pockets when I put my jacket down. And the kittens, too.
Oh, no. Well, they must be in the office somewhere. We have got to find them before Mr. Conklin gets back and really gets upset.
Well, let's see how this place looks.
Mr. Conklin.
Well, you've done a very nice job, Stretch.
Thanks, Mr. Conklin.
You can run along now. Miss Brooks, you will stay and help me find some papers.
Yes, sir.
But, Mr. Conklin,
Well, I have already thanked you, Snodgrass. Now, go. Now then, Miss Brooks, I've been trying to locate the semiannual report I made to the Board of Education 6 months ago. Will you kindly look in the top drawer of my desk while I try to concentrate?
Very well, Mr. Conklin.
Meow!
It's not in there.
Well, you hardly looked, Miss Brooks.
I saw enough.
Well, it's not in here either. Oh, it must be in this drawer. Let me look for myself. You were right, Miss Brooks. Nothing in there but a cat. Well, maybe it's in this other drawer.
Meow.
No, just another cat. Well, in that case, I'll simply have... Just another cat, Miss Brooks! What are those two cats doing in my desk?
Maybe they're looking for the report, too. They might have strayed in through an open window, Mr. Conklin. I'll have them removed at once.
We'll see that you do. But first, go look in my filing cabinet.
Yes, sir.
Look under letter B for board.
Yes, sir.
Ribbit!
What are you doing in here? You should be filed under F. It's not in here, Mr. Conklin.
Well, it must be somewhere. Let me look. Oh, what's in this batch? Oh, I see. One letter from Boys Town, my Beaver Patrol badge, one communication from the board.
Ribbit!
One frog, an invitation to the Elks barbecue, another notice of a board meeting, a letter from... One frog, Miss Brooks! There's a frog hopping around my filing cabinet!
Frog?
Yes, he's jumping all over the place. What'll I do, Miss Brooks?
Why don't you hit him with the snake that's crawling on your coat lapel?
That's a good idea. I'll just take this snake and then I'll... Take this snake!
Here, Mr. Conklin, just file him under S.
What's going on in here, Miss Brooks? Look, this mark on my hand. That snake bit me. I'm poisoned.
Oh, but Mr. Conklin, he couldn't have bit you. Really, he's
I've
not
got
poisoned.
To be inoculated. Quick, take me to the first aid room.
Now just sit in that chair and relax for a minute, Mr. Conklin, and I'll be right back.
As you say, Miss Brooks.
Well, hi, Miss Brooks. I got all the animals out of Mr. Conklin's office.
Good. For a while there, he thought the snake bit him. But I convinced Mr. Conklin that the mark on his hand is just a bruise. In fact, I was looking for some rubbing alcohol, but they seemed to be out of it in first aid.
I'll get you some over at the gym. But first, I'd like to cheer Mr. Conklin up a bit. Well, hiya, Mr. Conklin. Let's see your hand.
There. All black and blue.
That ain't nothing at all, Mr. Conklin. The skin ain't even broke. You got nothing to worry about.
Thank you, Doctor. Now the... There they are again.
Oh, don't worry about them, Mr. Conklin.
I didn't expect you to be concerned, Miss Brooks.
Well, frankly, after hearing nothing but meow and ribbit all day long, it's a relief to hear a hiccup.
I know a sure cure for hiccups, Mr. Conklin. Just sit back in that swivel chair for a minute.
I am sitting back.
Swell. Now the idea is to start spinning you around slowly.
Stretch! Stop that!
It never fails.
Stretch, you mustn't spin Mr. Conklin like that.
I know. We've got to spin him faster. Around this
way. Oh, no, Stretch, no.
Stretch, stop. Stop this at once, do you hear me? Stop it, I say.
Stretch, stop.
There.
Daddy, I've been looking all over for you.
Who are these girls who just came in?
It's me, Daddy, Harriet. Oh, Mrs. Michaels is waiting for you in your office, Daddy.
Oh, thank you, Harriet. I'll just get up and... Oh, I can hardly stand. I'm so dizzy.
Maybe you ought to spin around the other way for a minute.
Let me help you, Mr. Conklin.
I'll deal with you later, boy. Meanwhile, Miss Brooks, you go ahead and tell Mrs. Michaels I'll be right there. I'll lean on Harriet and Stretch until I feel a little stronger.
So you see, Mrs. Michaels, I certainly wouldn't want my boy in a school run by someone who had to come to my firm for assistance.
I'm sure there must be some mistake, Mr. Chalmers. I've known Osgood Conklin for a good many years, and whatever else he may be, he's not a drinking man.
Good day. I'm Miss Brooks. Mr. Conklin will be here in a minute.
I'm Mrs. Michaels, Miss Brooks, and this is Mr. Chalmers.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Now tell me, Miss Brooks, how is Mr. Conklin feeling these days?
Feeling?
Yes.
Oh, he's just fine. He's never been better.
Oh, good. You see, Mr. Chalmers, I'm sure that one look at Mr. Conklin will convince you that he's not the type of person who sends postcards to Cure That Habit Incorporated.
Hello, Miss Michaels. I'm sorry I'm late.
Let me help you up, Mr. Conklin.
I must have tripped, Mrs. Michaels. And who are these gentlemen with you?
These gentlemen are Mr. Chalmers. Shake hands with the one in the middle.
Pleasure to know you, Mr. Chalmers.
Don't look now, but that's Mrs. Michaels. Here is Mr. Chalmers.
Oh, of course. Glad to shake your hand, Mr. Chalmers.
You're shaking his umbrella.
What seems to be the matter, Mr. Conklin? Having trouble with your vision?
Oh, yes, yes, that's it. I broke my glasses this morning. Well, I'll get over here and sit down at my desk.
Michaels, look at him stagger.
Incredible. Miss Brooks, you said Mr. Conklin never felt better.
That's right. You should have seen him an hour ago. Boy, what hiccups.
Hiccups?
Yes, yes. I always get them when I'm startled.
And what, may I ask, startled you?
He opened his desk drawer this morning and saw a cat in it.
Tell me, Mr. Conklin, in which drawer did you, see the cat?
Well, the first cat I saw was in this drawer.
In this drawer, Mr. Conklin?
No, no, there's another cat in there. It was the one in here that startled me.
Would you mind showing us your cats, Mr. Conklin?
Not at all. They're right here in these drawers. Well, why, they're gone.
They come and they go, Mr. Conklin?
Miss Brooks, where are the cats?
They disappeared right after I took you to first aid. But he really did see them.
Indeed. The next thing you'll be trying to tell us is that he found a bullfrog in his filing cabinet.
How did you know?
Bullfrog, too? There must be some error here.
Yes, he was filed under B instead of F.
Well, Mrs. Michaels, do you believe me now?
Well, I'm afraid I do, Mr. Chalmers. Conklin? I don't want to seem unnecessarily cruel,
But if you want to stay on as principal of this honorable institution, Madison.
Pardon me,
High,
folks. Here's your alcohol, Mr. Conklin.
I'll take it, Stretch.
Miss Brooks, that alcohol is for Mr. Conklin?
Yes, it's for where the snake bit him.
Snake?
Yes, of course. It didn't really bite him. He just thought it did.
Well, so you saw a snake too, Mr. Conklin?
Yes, I did. Right on my lapel. Although I'm told that he's not poisonous, snakes still give me an extremely unpleasant feeling. I assure you that if I ever see him again... Now, wait a minute. There he is under your chair, Mr. Chalmers. Look out! I'll get him! There!
Good for you, Mr. Conklin. You have just killed Mr. Chalmers' umbrella.
I'm going to get out of here. This man is dangerous.
I'll go with you, Mr. Chalmers. As for you, Mr. Conklin, I'll talk to you again when you're sober.
Sober!
Mr. Chalmers here is the head of Cure That Habit Incorporated.
Oh, no.
This card he received yesterday will explain why he called on me this morning. Good day.
Cure That Habit Incorporated? What does that have to do with me? Miss Brooks, read this card for me.
It says, kindly send me all your literature. I am determined once and for all to rid myself of the curse of alcoholism. And it's signed Osgood Conklin.
Poor soul. Any man who has to resort to writing an Osgood
Conklin! Now, Mr. Conklin, I know you didn't write this postcard because I know who did, but it was only a little Friday the 13th joke, and I'm honor-bound not to mention who did it.
Oh, you are? Well, Miss Brooks, such loyalty is worthy of a better fate than the one under which you are about to crumble. You see, you and I have traveled the road of learning together for some time now. It hasn't always been a smooth road, but it's been our road, Miss Brooks. Now do you know what's in store for you?
I believe I do, Mr. Conklin. Pass me the rubbing alcohol.
The rubbing alcohol?
Yes, I might as well have one for the road.
Eve Arden, as our Miss Brooks, returns in just a moment. But first...
Dream girl, dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight? Yes, tonight. Show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a Luster Cream shampoo. Luster Cream, world's finest shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives you a magic blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Not a soap, not a liquid. Luster Cream shampoo leaves hair three ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen, soft, manageable, even in the hardest water. Luster Cream lathers instantly. No special rinse needed after a Luster Cream shampoo. So gentle, Luster Cream is wonderful, even for children's hair. Tonight, yes, tonight, try Luster Cream shampoo.
Dream girl, dream girl, beautiful Luster Cream girl. You'll owe your crown in glory to a Luster Cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, much to my surprise, Mr. Conklin did not dismiss me on the spot, but he did insist that I report to his office right after school. Upon my arrival, he told me that we were going down to Mrs. Michael's office immediately. But Mr. Conklin, what good will that do?
If you won't tell me who sent that card in, perhaps you'll tell the superintendent of schools. Now wait right where you are, Miss Brooks. I'm going to get my hat and coat out of this closet.
Yes, Mr. Conklin.
Hiya, Miss Brooks. Gee, I'm glad Mr. Conklin's not here. Now look at this.
Walter, now wait a minute.
Here's another ad for one of those liquor cures. Now I'm going to sign his name, too. Boy, I wish I could see his face when he finds out about this one.
I bet he'll be positively purple.
Oh, purple isn't the word for it. Old Marblehead will turn all the colors of the rainbow. Gosh, Miss Brooks, what should I do now?
Well, there's only one thing you can do. plead insanity.
Next week, tune in to another Our Miss Brooks show. Tonight, brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair, and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, directed by Al Lewis, and music by Wilbur Hatch. For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North Tuesday evening over most of these stations. And be with us again at the same time next week for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Now, once again, here is Eve Arden.
What would you do to protect your family and yourself in case of a sudden atomic bomb attack? It may never happen, but it could. Remember, you can survive an atomic bomb attack if you know what to do. Get a copy of the official air raid instructions from your local civil defense organization, or write to Superintendent of Documents, Washington, D.C., enclosing 5 cents in coins or stamps. Learn the instructions by heart and see that everyone in your family does too. Be smart, be prepared.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Thinking back, that wasn't that bad, was it? It was probably more my fault than it should have been. But it only happened because old Barbelhead, Mr. Conklin, made me write that editorial. Oh, which editorial? Well, might as well tell you that one too.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's once again time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, written by Al Lewis. Well, last Tuesday, January 3rd, marked the end of the holidays, and teachers and pupils all over the country returned to their various halls of learning. Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, was discussing her vacation with her landlady at breakfast last Tuesday.
I guess vacations are necessary sometimes, Connie. But now I suppose you're looking forward to returning to dear old Madison High with considerable enthusiasm.
Yes, indeed, Mrs. Davis. With all the enthusiasm of a sailor returning to his dear old submarine after a 2-week vacation on Bali Bali.
You'll get back into the swing in no time, Connie. Is Walter Denton picking you up this morning?
Yes, he is, and I hope he's on time. Our beloved principal has designated today as Board of Education Day.
Oh, what sort of ceremony is Mr. Conklin planning?
Well, Mr. Stone, the head of the board, will be there for his annual oiling, and Mr. Conklin will have the whole school lined up on the campus. Some of the students will even march past Mr. Stone carrying the flag.
Well, it cannot do any harm, Connie. The board might even decide to give you teachers a raise in the coming year.
I hope so. Then maybe next year we'll be strong enough to carry the flag. I'll get it. I'll be right there.
I'll take the dishes into the kitchen.
All right, Mrs. Davis, and thanks for breakfast. Good morning, Walter.
It's more than that, Miss Brooks. This is the morning when the glorious gates of learning fling open anew, when the tantalizing aroma of chalk and pencil shavings beckons us all, teachers and pupils alike, to join hands and amidst the clanging of bells, come gaily skipping back to the black hole of Calcutta.
Why, Walter, I didn't know you had it in you, and I wish you'd put it back. Did you have a nice vacation?
Oh, sure I did, Miss Brooks. That is, up till last night. And then it was practically ruined by Mr. Conklin. He ordered me to write an editorial for the Madison Monitor on what the Board of Education means to me.
Did you write it?
Well, sure I did. But you know what a tyrant old Marblehead can... I mean, Mr. Conklin can be when you cross him. But as a believer in freedom of the press, I really gave that Board of Education both barrels.
Walter, this is a new year. Don't you think one barrel would have been enough?
Giving us Monday off after New Year's Day, and then making us go to school Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is downright sadistic.
Well, it's better than not having Monday off, isn't it?
Well, sure, but it's not as good as having the rest of the week off, too.
Well, I'm with you there, Walter. It would also be nice if they gave us February and March off. But that isn't the way the board works.
Sometimes I doubt if they work at all. But it's all in this editorial, Miss Brooks. Here, I told Mr. Conklin you'd proofread it and bring it into his office this morning.
Me?
Well, sure, you're faculty advisor to the school paper, aren't you? Don't be nervous about handing it to him, Miss Brooks. Just toss it on his desk.
I can only do that if you'll agree to do something for me.
Oh, what's that, Miss Brooks?
Notify my next of kin. Look, Walter, Mr. Conklin wants to start the year off with the spirit of cooperation. You'd better destroy this literary Frankenstein.
Oh, I couldn't do that, Miss Brooks. But I'll think it over on the way to school and maybe amend some of my statements.
Fine. Now I'll just slip on my coat and we can get going.
Swell. My pal Stretch is waiting out in the car, and he's pretty brought down.
Stretch Snodgrass? Why, what's the matter with him?
Oh, you know what a great athlete Stretch is. He can pick up any sport in a second, but he can't seem to absorb much with his brain. He's afraid that during the holidays he forgot everything he learned all term. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. The alphabet.
Go ahead, Stretch. Tell Miss Brooks what's bothering you. She might be able to help you out.
I will certainly try, Stretch. What's your immediate problem?
Everything?
Good. As long as you've got it localized, I can help you.
I mean everything at school, Miss Brooks. You see, I just gotta stay eligible for basketball, but Mr. Boynton says I gotta take a biology test pretty soon. And I forgot so much during our vacation, I'm afraid I'm just not no good at no biology no more.
Stretch, it is incorrect to use a double negative in a sentence. You just used four of them.
Oh, then what I said was okay, huh? Gee, I'm sure glad I didn't forget none of my English like I forgot about my animals in biology. Gosh, I used to know my animals like I know my
C's. I was right about the alphabet.
Yeah, I guess you were. Go on, Stretch. Tell Miss Brooks some more about the test.
Well, I think it's going to be mostly about birds and monkeys and stuff like that there.
Where?
I got to know the names of the different kinds of baboons, which I used to know real good, but I forgot.
Well, don't worry about it, Stretch. If you want to meet me, I'll meet you after school and review your lessons with you.
Oh, that'd be keen, Miss Brooks. Gosh, I bet even the baboons know the names of all the other baboons.
Well, don't worry about that either. If you'll just concentrate and spend the next couple years studying, you'll be as smart as any other baboon.
I've summoned you to my office, Miss Brooks, to inform you of the fact that at 1 o'clock, Mr. Stone is due to arrive. So promptly at 12:55, the students and faculty will line up outside between the old cannon and the flagpole.
Yes, sir.
Then I will greet Mr. Stone and read aloud the editorial, which is to appear in the next issue of the Madison Monitor.
Oh, the editorial.
I'm not finished yet, Miss Brooks. The editorial is called What the Board of Education Means to Me, and was written by Walter Denton. Now, as you know, I'm not overly fond of young Denton, but as my daughter Harriet pointed out to me, he does get off some good editorials.
He gets off some pips. But Mr. Conklin, I don't know that
he said you'd deliver this to me after proofreading it, Miss Brooks. May I have it, please?
May you have it, please? But Mr. Conklin, I haven't got it, and neither has Walter. He told me he lost it on the way to school today.
Lost it? That's out of the question. He's just trying to delay
writing
it.
Mr. Conklin, if you're going to use an editorial as a welcoming speech, you should write it yourself.
Me?
Of course. You're a master of the editorial form. Why, even your interclass communications are sheer poetry.
They are?
Certainly they are. You sit right down at your desk, Mr. Conklin, and start creating.
Well, I do have a way with words, I suppose. Yes, yes. I'll draft a speech this morning and send it to you at lunchtime, Miss Brooks, for proofreading. Not that you'll find any grammatical error.
Oh, of course not.
But correct everyone you find. Oh, one more thing before you go. I'd like some exciting conclusion to the ceremony I've planned on the campus. Something that would really wind it up in a spectacular manner. Any suggestions, Miss Brooks?
Well, you say we're lining up between the cannon and the flagpole.
That is correct, Miss Brooks.
Then I think I've got just the idea for you, Mr. Conklin.
Oh, what is it, Miss Brooks?
Let's shoot Walter Denton out of the cannon.
Our Miss Brooks will return in just a moment, but first, for a beauty bath that brings you glamour from head to toe, get bath-sized palm olive soap.
Yes, ladies, for a velvet smooth beauty lather that caresses your skin, leaves your whole body glowing with the warm blush of fragrant loveliness, enjoy your beauty bath with bath-sized palm olive. It's perfect for your tub or shower. Just the simplest massage over your body creates a glorious lather that leaves your skin delightful.
Ooh. Get some palm olive soap for a beauty bath.
Ah. Yes, for the most luxurious bath you've ever had, get big bath size palm olive soap.
Well, all during my morning classes, I waited for Mr. Conklin's epic essay, What the Board of Education Means to Me. But when the epic didn't arrive at noon, I decided to expose myself to a luncheon invitation from Mr. Boynton and hurried toward his biology laboratory. Just a few doorways from my goal, I was intercepted by Madison's athletic giant and mental midget, Stretch Snodgrass.
Excuse me, Miss Brooks, but could I see you for a minute?
I suppose so, Stretch. What's on your... what's new?
Mr. Conklin appointed me messenger of the day. That means I'm supposed to deliver messages.
Great. What does he want to see me about?
Mr. Conklin told me to deliver his Board of Education speech to you during the lunch period. That's why I stopped you just now.
Why?
I ain't got it.
I haven't got it.
Oh, I know you ain't got it. I'm supposed to give it to you.
Well, why ain't you got it?
He didn't give it to me yet.
One of us is getting nowhere in my English class. Now, if you'll excuse me, Stretch.
Oh, sure, Miss Brooks.
Just leave the speech in Mr. Boynton's lab as soon as Mr. Conklin gives it to you. I've been anticipating this luncheon date for some time.
Okay, Miss Brooks. I'm sorry I held you up.
That's all right.
I didn't mean to take up so much of your time.
It's all right, Stretch.
I didn't know you were anticipating.
So long, Stretch.
Come in. Well, it's Miss Brooks. I'll be with you in just a minute. I've been trying to correct this biology test paper. It's an essay.
Oh?
I can hardly make out the name of... The writing is so illegible. Let's see, could it be... Snodgrass?
What's the title of the essay?
A man's best friend is his animals.
It's Snodgrass, all right.
Well, listen to this. Love birds is very nice pets, as they don't never bother nobody hardly, but is all the time busy making love? Isn't that terrible?
Well, you can't knock it to me. Oh, you mean the grammar. Yes, yes, it's pretty bad.
And here's another paragraph. Baboons is pretty big, and the mandrill is the biggest baboon of all. They make very nice pets, as they don't never bother nobody hardly, but is all the time busy making love.
He ought to change the title to An Animal's Best Friend is His Animals. You can finish that later, Mr. Boynton. Let's go have lunch, huh?
Okay, very well, Miss Brooks. I hope we run into Walter Denton in the cafeteria. These papers must have fallen out of his briefcase this morning. I'd like to return them. Seems to be an editorial for the school paper.
Oh, let's see that. What the Board of Education Means to Me by Walter Denton. I'm glad I discovered it in time. As faculty advisor to the paper, Mr. Conklin would hold me responsible for the most embarrassing incident that ever happened in Madison.
Well, what do you mean, Miss Brooks? What's in the editorial?
Just a pint or two of Walter's spleen. It's a blast of the board, which I'm going to tear up right now.
Miss Brooks, just a minute. Look what you've done. You've torn up Stretch's essay along with the other one.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Boynton. What were you planning to do with it? Send it to the Congressional Library? Such deathless prose. Baboons don't never bother nobody hardly, but is all the time busy making love. What am I laughing at? It should happen to the both of us.
Miss Brooks? Mr. Boynton? Huh. Guess they went to lunch. Well, I'll just leave Mr. Conklin's speech on the desk and then...
Hiya, Stretch! Have you heard about the ceremonies we're gonna have?
Yeah, Walter. Mr. Stone's coming down and we all gotta line up and greet him.
And boy, is he gonna get a greeting. I'm cooking some powder down in the chem lab that I'm gonna put in back of the old cannon. And when Mr. Stone gets here, we'll give him a salute that he'll hear till he's 90.
Gosh, do you think Mr. Conklin will like that?
He doesn't know about it yet. What's this on the desk here? What the Board of Education means to me. Say, I thought I lost this editorial when I was in here this morning.
What editorial?
This one. Gee, I'm glad I found it. Miss Brooks was right. This could get me in a lot of trouble.
But, Walter,
this thing is dynamite. I'm gonna tear it up right now.
But you shouldn't. There's something I gotta tell you.
In a minute. Now, what is it, Stretch?
That wasn't your editorial you just tore up.
It wasn't?
No. It was a speech that Mr. Conklin's been sweating out all morning.
Huh?
Yeah. He told me to give it to Miss Brooks. But don't worry, Walter. I'm very good at jigsaw puzzles. I'll just pick up the pieces out of the wastebasket and paste them together again.
I'd better help you. Oh, but the chem lab! I've got powder cooking!
You better get back there, Walter. This'll be easy for me to do, honest. You go on back and make some real good explosives. It'll liven the place up a bit.
Yeah, I guess I'd better stretch. But whatever you do, get that speech pasted together fast.
Okay, pal. Let's see. There's more papers in this basket than I thought. Well, here's one piece that fits to another. Oh, no, it don't neither. Well, it almost fits. Oh, it'll be good enough.
Walter? Walter Denton.
Oh, yes, Miss Brooks?
Have you seen Stretch anywhere? I've looked all over the grounds for him. Walter, what are you doing with that cannon?
Cannon? Oh, I'm just polishing it, Miss Brooks. Want everything to look spick and span when Mr. Stone gets here.
Well, he better not get here until Stretch shows up with Mr. Conklin's speech. I don't know what I'll do if he doesn't bring it and we don't have it.
Ah, there you are, Miss Brooks. Have you finished checking my speech?
Not really, Mr. Conklin.
What do you mean, not really?
I haven't begun. I haven't begun to enjoy anything as much as I did that speech of yours. Stretch is carrying it for me.
Excuse me, Miss Brooks, but here's the speech. It's right here in this folder.
Nice timing, Stretch. See, Mr. Conklin, here's your speech.
Not a minute too soon. I think this is Mr. Stone's car driving up right now. Attention, everyone. Straighten out those lines. That's right. Now, Miss Brooks, you stand on my left. I'll stand here by the cannon.
Get a little closer to the cannon, Mr. Conklin. You look stunning together.
Quiet, Denton. Now, remember, when Mr. Stone steps out of the car, I'll count three, and we'll all salute him.
I certainly will.
Ready now? One, two.
Walter, what in the world did you put in that cannon?
It was just sort of a giant firecracker, Miss Brooks. Wasn't it keen?
Would somebody please help me up?
Oh, of course, Mr. Conklin. There you are, sir. Everything all right? There's no reason to be embarrassed. That wasn't Mr. Stone's car.
How?
I said it wasn't Mr. Stone's car.
Don't stand there flapping your lips. Say something.
He can't hear a word you're saying. He was standing so close to the cannon, it must have plugged up his ears.
Oh, no, this is terrible, Walter.
What's that? What did you just say?
We've got to get him into his office. He seems stunned.
Well, all the same, come on, gang. Three cheers for Mr. Conklin.
Yay, Mr. Conklin! Yay, Mr. Conklin! Yay, Mr. Conklin!
What's going on here? Why is everyone so quiet?
Poor Mr. Conklin.
Gosh, Miss Brooks, you don't think Daddy's hearing would be permanently impaired,
do you? Of course not, Harriet. This is just a temporary condition. Shall I say, come in, Mr. Conklin?
What's that?
Come in.
Hiya, Miss Brooks. How's Mr. Conklin's hearing?
Very bad, Walter.
Good! We're gonna shoot off the cannon again!
But Walter, that's not a good idea.
That was Denton, wasn't it? Did he have anything to do with that explosion by the cannon?
Oh, I'm sure he didn't, Daddy. I say, I'm sure he didn't, Daddy.
That's right, Mr. Conklin. It just exploded. I say it just exploded.
It certainly is corroded. I don't understand what happened. That cannon hasn't been touched since the Spanish-American War. It's absolutely useless.
What do you mean useless? We won, didn't we?
You're right, you're right. It is unusual for Mr. Stone to be so late. He's quite a busy man, though.
Gosh, Miss Brooks, do you think Daddy's hearing is getting any better at all?
Come in.
He's improving by leaps and bounds. Harriet, please go out and tell Walter to stop that racket at once.
Okay, Miss Brooks, but you'll stay with Daddy, won't you?
Certainly, and don't worry about him, Harriet. He's not in any pain.
All right, Miss Brooks. See you later, Daddy.
Miss Brooks, when Mr. Stone does get here, I don't want him to know that there's anything wrong with my hearing or anything else. If he suspected that a cannon had exploded on school property, he'd go back to the board in a tizzy.
I understand, Mr. Conklin. And in view of your condition, I think it might be a good idea if I were to read your speech to him.
In view of my condition, it might be a good idea if you were to read my speech to him.
Quite an echo in here.
Now remember to read the speech slowly, Miss Brooks, and when I see your lips stop moving, I'll make some appropriate comment from time to time.
Come in. Well, it's Mr. Stone.
How do you do, Miss Brooks? Sorry I'm late, Osgood. It was unavoidable.
Thank you, Mr. Stone, and a happy new year to you, too.
I beg your pardon?
Mr. Conklin's a little confused, Mr. Stone. It isn't every day that so distinguished a visitor honors our institution with a visit.
Well, that's very gracious, Miss Brooks.
The speech, Miss Brooks, the speech?
Yes, sir. However, Mr. Conklin has prepared a little speech, which I will read to you now.
You? But why don't you read it yourself, Osgood?
Well, you see, Mr. Stone, he's so choked with emotion, he's speechless. However, I have it right here. Nice paste job. It's entitled, What the Board of Education Means to Me, by Osgood Conklin. It reads, Few people realize the magnificent efficiency with which our Board of Education functions. This august body is composed of a group of able members, and these baboons grow to a height of 4 feet.
What?
Every word of this comes from the bottom of my heart. Read on, Miss Brooks.
I don't know whether I should read on.
I insist that you do.
Oh, well. The members of the Board of Education make very nice pets, as they don't never bother nobody, but is all the time busy making love.
What is the meaning of this?
Right from the bottom of my heart.
Now see here, Conklin. If this is some sort of a joke, I don't like it. Not one bit.
Oh, you're too kind, Mr. Stone. Hand me that last page, Miss Brooks.
But Mr. Conklin, I wouldn't suggest that.
Give it here. Give it here. Give it here. To sum up, I would like to read what I have written in this last paragraph. To wit, having observed Mr. Stone's educational methods, I'm convinced that his outstanding talent is his ability to eat bananas while hanging by his tail. Believe me, Mr. Stone, these sentiments are dictated by a eat bananas while hanging by his tail!
The man has obviously taken leave of his senses.
But, sir, if you would just let me explain...
If and when they return, this matter will be thoroughly investigated. Good day, Miss Brooks.
Miss Brooks, this speech... This isn't the speech I wrote.
I know it now, Mr. Conklin, but I didn't know
I
it
hold
yet.
You responsible for this entire fiasco. And believe me, Miss Brooks, you have no idea how severe your punishment is going to be.
Oh, yes, I have, Mr. Conklin.
Miss Brooks, where are you going?
Out to get some bananas. There's nothing like hanging by your tail from a flagpole to whip up an appetite.
Eve Arden, as our Miss Brooks, returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight? Yes, tonight. Show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Luster cream, World's finest shampoo leaves hair three ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable, caressable. Tonight, yes, tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo.
Dream Girl, Dream Girl, beautiful Luster Cream Girl, you'll owe your crowning glory to a Luster Cream Shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, even after he'd read a confession from Walter and Stretch, Mr. Conklin still blamed me for the day's misadventures. Accordingly, he ordered me to write a brand new speech for him that same afternoon. I wouldn't have minded that much, but it meant breaking one of my rare dates with Mr. Boynton. I was complaining about it as we walked down the hall after school.
It does sound unfair, Miss Brooks, but after all, Mr. Conklin's the boss. What can you do about it?
Well, I could go into his office and tell him off, I suppose, but that wouldn't do any good either. He can't hear a word. Wait a minute. Maybe these are the ideal conditions. A chance to say all the things I've always wanted to say to Mr. Conklin, right to his face.
Well, do you think that's wise, Miss Brooks?
I don't know how wise it is, but it'll certainly do my little heart good.
Excuse me, Miss Brooks. I've got to take this aspirin to Daddy.
Oh, let me take it, Harriet. There's something I want to say to him.
Oh, he's still pretty upset, Miss Brooks. Maybe I better see him alone first.
All right, Harriet.
Here's your aspirin, Daddy, and a glass of water. See, Daddy? Water? Drink?
Stop gibbering, girl. I can hear you distinctly.
You can?
Yes, yes. It happened just a moment ago. My head cleared and my hearing is perfectly normal.
How wonderful. Oh, Daddy, Miss Brooks is waiting to see you. May I send her in?
Very well.
Daddy will see you now, Miss Brooks.
Oh, goody.
See you tomorrow.
All right, Harriet.
Well, Miss Brooks?
I just wanted to talk to you about my having to stay in this afternoon. You inconsiderate, maladjusted, subhuman tyrant.
What?
I've got some things to tell you that I've been saving up for years, and it's going to be a great pleasure to coo them into your dainty, plugged-up little ears.
Eh? How did that go again?
Of all the puffed-up, overstuffed, pompous windbags I've ever met, you take the marble cake, Marblehead.
Eh?
Rather than try to talk some sense into that addle-pated, mule-brained little head of yours, I'll do the work this afternoon. Does that make you happy, you beady-eyed, beetle-browed old buzzard?
Yes, Miss Brooks. That makes me very happy.
Good. And I just wanted to say that... You can hear!
Yes. From the moment you enter this office, you'll be pleased to know that this overstuffed windbag has absorbed your every word. You realize, of course, Miss Brooks, that any chastisement you have suffered in the past is mere child's play when compared with what's in store for you now.
How? Eh?
I will not only see to it that our local school board of education receives
Must be contagious. Can't seem to hear a single word you're saying. It was over 3 hours ago that the cannon went off, and here I am, suddenly taken stone deaf. Oh, well, I guess there's no sense in worrying about it. I'll just relax and enjoy the evening.
Next week brings you another Our Miss Brooks show, brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, manageable, glamorous, caressable hair, and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, Bill Lally, Leonard Smith, and Francis X. Bushman. Be with us again next week, same time, for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. This is CBS. the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Ah, dear old Madison. Miss Brooks was the best teacher we ever had. As for Mr. Conklin, he probably let me off a bit easier than I deserved, but I think I turned out okay. As for Miss Brooks and Mr. Boynton...
Hurry, Walter, dear. You'll be late for the photo.
I'm on my way, Harriet, my love. Dear old Madison High.
Cure That Habit originally aired on January 15, 1950 on CBS. Board of Education Day originally aired on January 8, 1950 on CBS. Both scripts were written by Al Lewis and transcribed by the Generic Radio Workshop. Script editing by Bob Dutton. Additional material written by Morgan Riley. Life Lessons and Laughs has been a production of the On the Air Radio Players. Tonight's show was directed by Morgan Riley. Music director was Gray Newborn. The sounds and effects and voices artists for tonight's show were Marsha Dresser, Bob Dutton, Jana Francis Fisher, Bruce Heumann, Mary Heumann, Gray Newborn, Jason Morris, and Morgan Riley. For more information about upcoming shows and for recordings of past performances, visit our website, www.otarp.com. For On the Air Radio Players, this is Marsha Dresser, wishing you good night and happy listening.